All right, back to the program. We start hour number three. I am in Southern California. I am live. I am Jim Rome. It's great to have you here. All right, coming off the beef segment, also 2 hours of NBA, essentially. Let me start you off. Telephone number is toll-free. This phone number is good in the United States. This phone number is good in Canada. 1-800-636-8686. You know, social media is a big part of the program. You can tweet me at Jim Rome, and even we are old school with it. You can email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. All right, new hour, new topic. We are joined right now by the driver of the number one Chevy Camaro for Trackhouse Racing. He is currently the Cup Series points leader with 6 top 10s, 5 top 5 finishes in 13 races. This Sunday, NASCAR is at the North Wilkesboro Speedway for the NASCAR All-Star Open. That is 5:30 Eastern time. Ross Chastain is my guest. Ross, it's great to have you on the show. Ross, how are you?
Mr. Rome, I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, dude. Good. It's great to have you on. So let me ask you, Ross, it's been a wild ride so far this year. You're the overall points leader, but there's been no shortage of drama. How do you feel about the way you're running? And then how would you describe what the season has been like for you personally?
Yeah, it's NASCAR is a crazy sport. Look, man, we start middle of February, and we race every week except for one through November. So Valentine's Day to almost to Thanksgiving, we are racing every weekend. It's a week-to-week sport and something that I've dedicated my career and my life to since I was definitely since I was 18 years old and started and fell in love with the sport at 12 years old. So to hear that introduction as the Cup Series points leader several races into the year is it's an amazing feeling. It's a lot of testament to hard work and a long time coming. I didn't just come into the sport and get here right away. So it took me a bit of a long runway. And this year, man, is wild. NASCAR, we're in our second year of our new car, our next gen car, we call it. And as it's evolved, we've continued to evolve with it with Trackhouse. Only a third year of the team's existence and my second year with them. So parking first in the garage is is an awesome feeling and something we don't take lightly.
Ross Chastain joining us. You know, I can appreciate that. I'm going to ask you about that new car as well. You know, when we talk about what's gone on, and yeah, I mean, it's a testament to hard work. It's a testament to talent. And it's a testament to the way you run and your style. It's an example. You had a good look at winning your first race Sunday at Darlington, but you came together with Kyle Larson off a restart with 6 laps to go. And I'm saying this like those who know what happened. But ultimately, you finished in 29th place. For those who don't know, can you take us through exactly what happened at the end of that race?
Yeah, there's a lot of variables, and Kyle and I are good friends, and we train together, prepare together. We drive for separate teams with him at Hendrick Motorsports and me at Trackhouse. And Hendrick is one of the legacy teams of the sport, and we're new, but we prepare together, and we are partners in this. So, yeah, it came down to the end, and I overstepped my car's grip level. Look, I got 3 pedals with a gas brake and a clutch and a steering wheel, and ultimately I used too much gas and went too fast and slid up and ended up turning myself into the wall and taking Kyle with me, ultimately getting the worst end of it. So it's tough with a win on the line at Darlington, by far my favorite racetrack and one that we've had good speed at since I got to with my team. So my crew chief and pit crew and engineers and mechanics, most of us have been together for, this is now our third year. We were at Chip Ganassi Racing before, and then Trackhouse acquired CGR, and we came over with them. So to do it with my group is really what makes it even more special. And this number one team, we've been together now for 3 years. By far the longest I've ever worked with a group. I've bounced around the sport a lot, and it's been quite a journey to get here. So to be able to stay with this group, transition to the new car with a new team last year and now build on it, we're able to go race. But ultimately at Darlington, man, I overstepped it, and I get to live with that.
All right, so I appreciate that. So you own that. So you found a group that gets you, embraces you. Ross, you did mention, though, that after Darlington, there were some tough conversations with Trackhouse Racing founder Justin Marks. What was his message to you?
I've raced against Justin and we've known each other really my entire NASCAR career. My very first truck race, to go back a little bit, was stepping into a truck he was getting out of. He had ran the first half of the season, and then I stepped in and ran a handful of races, and a couple other drivers did as well. But I bought some seats from him, and I remember the first time I met Aaron, his wife, I knocked on her front door, rang her doorbell, and to pay Justin for the seats, and he was gone training. I didn't even know what training was to be a NASCAR driver, and I paid Aaron, and that's where I met her, and I already knew Justin. So to come full circle now, we have a great relationship, and so we're able to have those tough conversations whenever we need to. We're big boys and girls. This is big time auto racing, and I'll keep some of the conversation inside the walls of track house, and we're on the same page though, and we want the same things. And so he's our leader, he's our owner, together with Pitbull, Mr. Worldwide. It's quite the dynamic duo there, and together we'll get better, and they'll keep molding me. Look, I'm 30 years old. I have a lot to learn. This is my third year of being in a competitive car in the Cup Series, and the new car really has been a spark for us, and something we've really enjoyed racing, and been able to have good speed and quality cars. Because now with the car, we all have the same parts and pieces across the entire series. So Justin was able to lay some things out for me, and some plans and some procedures, and I'll be better for it.
Ross Chastain joining us. Listen, I can respect it. What you want to say is, hey, what was said between those walls is between us. It's our team, and you want to keep that private. I totally understand that. Let me ask you this, Ross. Like, the way you run and your style and how aggressive you are, you're not where you are if you're not that aggressive. You're not where you are unless you're pushing the limit. That's why you are where you are in part. I'm curious, did Justin in any way look for you to adjust that style or dial it back in any way? Is that a part of the equation?
Well, I think it's human nature to always want to evolve and be better and learn from our past. And if I don't learn from Darlington last Sunday, then I'm doing myself a disservice, and I'm not going to be the best race car driver I can be. I have ran 450 some odd starts in the top three series. I've been racing since I was 12 years old, and I can remember a lot of those, and I take lessons learned from the past to be better the next time, be better for our all-star race this weekend at North Wilkesboro Speedway, a track we haven't raced at since 1996. I don't even remember them racing there. I was born in 92, so I'm going to keep learning. I'm going to continue to get better, and the day that I stop trying to be better, the day I think I've ran the perfect race lap will probably be the start date of me deciding that I'm done racing at this level. And I don't believe that I've ever ran the perfect lap on a racetrack. And, until I achieve that, I won't be satisfied, and I don't know that I ever will, but I recognize that. So, there's just a lot to learn and a lot to continue to evolve. So, Justin, he has a unique way of leadership, really different than any other team owner I've ever had. He's younger than almost all of the previous team owners I've worked with, and has an incredible way of motivating that goes along with Pitbull's way of motivating at his concerts on his tour, where I'm ready to run through a brick wall when I get done talking to either one of them.
It's a really interesting team in that regard, and it's paying off. You are the points leader. Let me ask you this, and to the point that you're making, like, hey, I'm 30, I'm evolving, I'm changing, I'm getting better. Believe me, I know the way I was when I was 30, which was a hell of a long time ago. I was a very different talk show host and a very different person. I know exactly what you're talking about. You mentioned Rick Hendrick. Let me ask you this. For those who do not understand the sport, there's certain things that go on the track, right? Hendrick said this about you, quote, he's going to make a lot of enemies. It's hard to win a championship when you've got a lot of paybacks out there, end of quote. I know you saw that. Ross, what is your reaction to the statement that he made? Is there something to that? Are you concerned about that?
For sure. I mean, look, when Mr. Hendrick talks, we all listen, and he has earned that, and he has built an incredible race team that I'm proud to be a small partner of with Trackhouse. And in talking with Mr. Hendrick this week personally, we had some good conversation, and he had a lot of advice for me. I wish I have talked to him in the past, but I wish I would have had more conversations with him, because he he's just got so much knowledge of doing this and molding drivers. He's worked with some of the greatest all-time in our sport. He's raced against even more of the all-time greats. And so that lineage and that history of this is not his first rodeo with somebody that's made the mistake that I made on Sunday. And so, there's a lot that I took from that conversation, and I will lean on him more as the timing is right. I'm not gonna bug him by any means, but I took a lot from it, and he was very kind and really, really good to talk to. So it's humbling in a way, and I do hear what he says, and I listen to it.
So let me ask you this before you go. You, like you mentioned, some of the all-time greats in the sport, and your sport is no different than any other sport in that sports thrive with rivalries. Every sport needs great rivalries. I saw something in the press the other day that I thought was really, really interesting. The quote was, "Is Ross Chastain v. Kyle Larson this generation's Dale Earnhardt v. Jeff Gordon?" I mean, dude, that is some really... It says, "It's not that far-fetched." That was part of the headline. That is some really, really heady stuff. What do you make of that? Is there something to that?
I'm not sure. I'm a race car driver, Jim, that I get paid to drive in circles. So all the other stuff, all the nicknames, the Melon Man, our Melon Man brand, Track House, everything, all the names come from other people, and then it's up to us to go do what we love, and the fact that we get to do it is absolutely incredible. So I'm not here to self-assign myself a nickname or anybody else. I'm not here to really emulate anybody in any certain way other than I want to go faster than all of my competitors. And doing that in the best way I can will continue to change. And I don't play a part. I don't try to be like anybody of the past. And I just try to be the best version of myself. And that's what I'm working on right now. And I will continue to learn. I'm not saying I'm going to be perfect. But the names, the nicknames, the mantras, the merch, that's all. I have some input on what we do, but I'm not looking out to I wish I could have met Mr. Earnhardt Sr. I know his son, Dale Jr., well, raced with him last night in a late model stock race up in North Wilkesboro and had a blast in a local race up there. And, in this progression of my career, there's been ups and downs, and this is one of them. And not looking to be like anybody else, just looking to be the best version of Ross Chastain, the watermelon farmer turned race car driver that I can be.
You bet, man. I see you working. I like that. I appreciate that. That's all any of us can hope to be. He's the driver of the number one Chevy Camaro for Trackhouse Racing. I mentioned having a big year, 6 top 10s. Five top fives, and the points leader overall. And this Sunday, NASCAR is at the North Wilkesboro Speedway. It is the NASCAR All-Star Open at 5:30 Eastern Time. Ross, good job. That was a good extended conversation. I appreciate you. Have a great week, and I'll be tracking that the rest of the year. Really nice to have you on, Ross.
Thank you, Mr. Rome. We'll talk later.
You got it. We'll talk later. Ross Chastain. Mr. Roaming me, no less. He's funny. He's in it now. The one thing we didn't talk about, and it's not because I didn't want to talk about it. I wanted to. I just ran out of time, and there were so many things that came up, but there have been other things. You know, you had that incident at Darlington. 7 days earlier, he got into it with Noah Gragson on pit row at Kansas Speedway, and Noah came up on him pretty aggressively, and it ended with Ross giving him the hands. And my guess would be NASCAR is not that unhappy about that. Listen, NASCAR is like everything else. NASCAR was really, really enormous for a long time, like a lot of other things, and is chasing, like we all are. There is so much content and so many different things going on right now. We are all looking to be relevant, competitive, riveting. We're trying to get, there's such a fierce battle. I always say this, a fierce battle for the hearts and minds and ears and eyes of the public. NASCAR is no different. Ross Chastain's one of those guys, whether intentionally or not, he does move the needle. And he's polarizing, and people absolutely love him, and people absolutely do not love him. I thought that right there he did a real good job of not saying, hey, man, bleep you. Like, I know I made a mistake. I know I made a mistake. I'm trying to evolve. I'm trying to be the best version of myself. I'm trying to win a championship here. And yes, I had a tough conversation with my owner, but that's what we do. I like it. Alvin, would you like to go ahead and add Ross to our disclaimer? I think he earned it.
Good guy. Top performer. They know what they're doing.
Respects the fans.
There's no better league to deal with than NASCAR.
Gives back. Appreciates the sport. Has time for the fans.
And NASCAR has won me over.
I like it. I get it.
They call on time. They do good interviews. They have good attitudes. It's big. It's not going away. Good interviews. Shows up on time.
Every one of those guys is like that.
They won me over. I will say for the record once again, I've done a 180.
He's not Tony Stewart. Rusty Wallace is my favorite guest. And if it's not Rusty Wallace, it's Clint Boyer and his bus driver, Curtis.
I did not break the pace car.
Carl Edwards, class act, Trevor Bayne. The best energy.
And I love Jeff Gordon.
I can't pick favorites, but Jimmy Johnson's my favorite. And Brad Keselowski is right there. I like it. Alvin, would you like to go ahead and add Ross to our disclaimer? I think he earned it.
Good guy. Top performer. They know what they're doing.
Respects the fans.
There's no better league to deal with than NASCAR.
Gives back. Appreciates the sport. Has time for the fans.
And NASCAR has won me over.
I like it. I get it.
They call on time. They do good interviews. They have good attitudes. It's big. It's not going away.
Good interviews. Shows up on time.
Every one of those guys is like that.
They won me over. I will say for the record once again, I've done a 180.
He's not Tony Stewart. Rusty Wallace is my favorite guest.
And if it's not Rusty Wallace, it's Clint Boyer and his bus driver, Curtis.
I did not break the pace car.
Carl Edwards, class act, Trevor Bayne. The best energy.
And I love Jeff Gordon.
I can't pick favorites, but Jimmy Johnson's my favorite.
And Brad Keselowski is right there.
He does move the needle. I like it.
Good job.
Would you like to go ahead and add Ross to our disclaimer? I think he earned it.
Good guy. Top performer. They know what they're doing.
Respects the fans.
This is a record. That's the record. You know what they should do? If YouTube TV goes down again, instead of going with a Little Mermaid trailer loop, they should go with our NASCAR disclaimer loop.
It's not going away. Good interview. Shows up on time.
You know, you might be jaded and say, hey, Rome, I know why you love them. They need to be like that. Maybe. But NASCAR is amazing. There's, I could ask for any driver, and they would give me any driver. Any driver on circuit. 1 through 50. They're so good to work with, NASCAR. Yeah, Rome, they have to be. Well, whatever.
The needle.
They are.
Alvin.
Would you like to go ahead and
Alvin,
add
are you still running that
Ross
thing?
To our disclaimer? I think he earned it.
Good guy. Top performer.
Amazing. All right, Alvin. All right, Alvin. That seems almost passively aggressive. Like, dude, are you going to ask me for that again? All right, I'll give it to you. You want it? You got it. Yeah, but I didn't need it five times, Alvin. I think that was some passive aggressiveness from you, Alvin. Anybody want to react to that? I know we have NASCAR listeners, NASCAR fans. Do you like what you heard from him, or are you not hearing anything he said because you know the way he drives? Or can you appreciate the way he drives? He is first overall. And, you know, by the way, I thought that he was clever, and I thought he did a good job of kind of diffusing the criticism. Like when I asked him about Rick Hendrick, was not in the best way. He was not in a good space when he said, hey, man, this guy's making a lot of enemies. And Hendrick doesn't say a ton like that publicly. So when a guy, a legend, a living legend, and a monster in the sport like Rick Hendrick says, let me tell you something about this young man. He's making a lot of enemies. It's going to be awfully hard to win a championship when you've got a lot of paybacks out there. In other words, there are certain alliances on the track. You have to have friends on the track. And if everybody on the track hates you and wants to prevent you from winning, it's tough to win a championship that way. And I thought that Ross was clever in saying, you know what? That's a legend, and I wish I had more time to talk with him, and when he speaks, you listen. He's hitting the right notes. He's saying the right things. So now we see how it plays out. Anyway, glad we did that. I enjoyed that. Where do you come out? All right, so the rest of the way, smack off. I still haven't gotten into that yet. In fact, I want to get into that. Let's do that when we come back.
The Smack Off.
Smack Off 29. I'm going to lay it out for you. Tell you a little bit of how it works. Get you to RSVP. Got a good show for you tomorrow. Pat Surtain, the second, via Zoom tomorrow. Eric Armstead also tomorrow. I like it. Good to go into the weekend with some NFL. When we come back, let's talk Smack Off. Smack Off 29. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
This segment brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're close. They're convenient. They're known for their guaranteed everyday low prices and their excellent customer service from the professional parts people that you know you can trust. So stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. Do it. Quickly, let's see here. Rome, thanks for the Ross Chastain interview. Sure, he's aggressive on the track and ruffles feathers, but he owns it. Plus, he's not an arrogant jerk like many other so-called, quote, aggressive drivers usually are. I'm looking at you, Kyle Busch. I like his style. Brad in the 360, cycling degenerate. Hey, Brad, I'm sure that Ross appreciates that you, of all people, like his style. If Brad in the 360 likes your style, then you have style. Ask Brad. Brad's too much. So, Brad, now you're also a NASCAR guy? I didn't know that. This says, is it Brad hates MMA, but he loves NASCAR. And he's a cycling degenerate. You never know. You talk about a mixed bag. Never know about this dude. Brad hates MMA. I don't know if you hated Brad because you think it's dangerous, but you love NASCAR? NASCAR is not much safer, I wouldn't imagine, than MMA. I love them both for different reasons. Alvin, please remove that bag, Chastain, from the NASCAR disclaimer, because that bag is not a good guy. I would give $1 million to mace that guy with a full can of mace, Ian and the Natty. That's what I'm saying. He elicits really strong opinions. Really strong opinions. He moves the needle, and he is the points leader. Okay, back to the phones. It is Smack-Off season. I'm trying to get my Smack-Off take in. But this is a guy who was invited to the Smack-Off and will be pretty much until there is no Smack-Off. Back to San Antonio, Gino. Gino, what's going on?
Romy, man, I'm sorry for calling 2 days in a row. This is really just an extension of the beef section or the beef section of your show today. But yesterday, after I called into your show, I was so fired up about the Spurs grabbing that number one pick. And come around drive time, I said, you know what? I'm going to track down 760, the ticket, the local San Antonio sports talk. I'm going to stream it because I wanted to catch some of that local flavor after we ripped that number one pick. And what am I rewarded with when I start listening to them? Local AM monotone honk, Andy Everett and two other stiffs doing back-to-back segments on their PGA Championship fantasy draft. I kid you not. They're not even talking about the PGA Championship. They're talking about their individual picks, hemming and hawing, going back and forth, like thinking about it. The most boring thing I've ever heard in my life for two segments. San Antonio is about to become nationally relevant again after a decade of slowly sinking itself back into mediocrity, and you tools are rolling out fantasy golf radio at 5 p.m. in drive time. I wanted to call in and wreck shop on that stupid show and set matters right, but it's not even a call-in show. It's just Andy Everett and the cure for insomnia. 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. Hey, San Antonio, I'm sorry you're getting done like that. 760 the ticket. The world is heading your way. Do better. Thank you, Mr. Rome.
I mean, Gino, I want to say to you, if you have an issue with the local guys, call the local guys. And I guess your response would be, they don't take calls. Here's the problem, Gino. If I allow that, and you get a lot of leeway because you're Gino, then I've got every guy in every local market calling my national show to kill their local show. How's that going to work? It's not. That won't work. If you have an issue with the local programmers, take it up with the local programmers. And then the other thing is, you know, I have never, ever kind of entertained going in on other talk show hosts. And I've done this by design because when I was on my way up and I was wrecking shop and tearing it up, there were always other a-holes that couldn't wait to make me the biggest topic on their show. And my response to that always was, yeah, you keep talking about me and I'll keep talking sports and interviewing athletes. And I would say that for years. I mean, that went on for years. And I never clapped back because I thought it was hilarious and I knew I was getting over. I knew I was winning, that you weren't going to draw me into that fight because I already won. You're talking about me. You're talking about my show. Yo, we're talking about how much we hate you, Rome. Now, I win. You're talking about me on your show. I'm interviewing athletes and talking sports and dropping rants, and you're talking about me and what I'm talking about. So I made this a point. I have never, ever swerved out of my way to talk about other shows or other hosts. You know why that is? Because one, it's lazy, and two, there's enough to talk about in sports without us talking about each other. We're not the thing. We're not the game. The only allowance I make for that is this show is a sport unto itself. Follow me. This show is a sport unto itself because the biggest topic on this show is, frankly, the show itself often because of the culture of the show, because there's this underlying belly, some would say unsavory, but there is this whole show within the show. There's always a second show going on about the show. That's different. So we could talk about us, but I don't talk about other shows. So anyway, Gino, you know that. So I know you're frustrated that that was the best day ever for you, or the best day in a long time, and you're not getting that hype you want locally, but isn't that something you should take up with the local guys and not me? I mean, Gino, in a way, right? Didn't they win? They just got local. That local show just got a bunch of national run. You just gave them a national commercial. You just plugged both of their names nationally. You showed them. You shut them down. You humiliated them. You embarrassed them. You murdered them. Gino got over. Gino got the last laugh. Gino, I mean, Gino, better that you wait in a bar for no tipping Pippin and confront him. Anyway, you see what I'm saying?
No,
we have
Pippin.
We have more than 200 radio stations in this group. This does not include all the streaming. This does not include satellite. This does not include TV, but just, you know, pure brick and mortar radio stations. If I allow you to kill the local guys, that's all we would ever talk about and nobody would care. Then I'm getting phone calls from like, hey, Rome, this is so-and-so from insert market. I don't know, Youngstown, Crapchester, Toledo, whatever. All important markets to me. Calgary. But the rest of the country doesn't want to hear about your local beef. Gino, you know that. But anyway, Gino calling 2 days in a row is always interesting. That doesn't happen very often. Your reaction to his reaction, and I'm still trying to talk smack off 29, which he is still invited to. Next, hopefully. Can I get you to listen to episode 267 of the Jim Rome Podcast with Kevin Frazier? If not, you're missing out. Butta is awesome. We had, even Tommy was saying after, and it's my EP, who's a radio pro. Tommy's like, dude, the two of you dudes, man. There's just something about you two dudes because of the way you came up together, because of your friendship, because of your relationship, because of your shared experiences. I'm like, right? That's why Kevin Frazier and I, that's why he's one of my best friends ever in the history of the world, either in or out of the business, and why our chemistry is so good. We came up together. I met him because we co-hosted the FX Sports Show together, and we didn't pick each other. They put us together. Totally organic. And to this day, still one of my best friends. I love the man. So you want to look for that too. Let's get you a sports update. It's a little bit overdue. Here it is. All All right, so clones, I think I made it pretty clear, but just in case you did not know, Smack-Off 29 is June 30th. If you did not know, you need to find a clue because that's not news. We're right in the thick of Smack-Off season right now. We even had our first RSVP call yesterday from Mark in Boston. And it fired me up. It did. Let me reset the entire thing for you. Anyone can get involved in the event if they have the chops. In fact, I want everybody involved in the event. The Smack-Off is an open competition. I want to be very clear about that. It's an open competition. I want everybody listening right now to know you can come in, take your shot, shoot your shot. I mean that. This is not only about the established legendary callers to the program. I love the established legendary callers to the program. Don't get it twisted. I've got the best callers of any radio program that's ever existed. So, of course, I appreciate every single one of them. But I'm not just saying that the Smack-Off 29 champ is going to be an established legendary caller or that that's a prerequisite. You could come out of nowhere and shock the world. We've seen it in sports. It could happen here. Anybody can win this thing. Despite the garbage that you might read on Twitter, we do not predetermine kings of smack. We do not preassign straps. We do not huddle up and pick a winner beforehand. I do not go out on a darkness retreat to figure out whose turn it is to win. We don't script the smack off. I don't hole up in the Tower of Hate and plan out the champions. Why the hell would I?
Scoop Club.
The best part about this event is that anything can and will and has happened. Why would I script that? That's the best thing about it. You never know what's going to happen. Anything can still happen. It's Smack-Off 29. So no, it's not only about the established legends. Yes, they're your potential competition. Once you get in here and score an invite, that's the catch. The only catch. It's invite only. You do have to play your way in. And if you don't know whether or not you have an invite, or if you're not sure whether or not you have an invite, then you do not have an invite. Everybody who is already in knows that they're in. If you're not one of those people, you can still get in, but you need a golden ticket. It's like a wild card. A wild card entry. I've got a giant stack of them. It's not like, well, I've got five, so I got to pick and choose who the five are going to be. I could give away 100. I could give away 1,000 if there were enough. I've got a giant limitless stack. I'd love to give one away every single day if I could. So how do you get one? You lob me a call, but it's got to be a great call. And it can be just one call. One call from somebody I don't know out of nowhere could get in if it's the right call. It's only happened a few times in the history of the program, but there are a couple of first calls, introductory calls, that were good enough to get in. Or you could string together racked calls. Or you can make yourself a watch lister and make it happen that way. You just have to show me that you could potentially make it better on the big day. Then I will give you the chance to make it better on the big day. It really is that simple. That's what Smack-Off season is really all about. New blood getting in here and trying to snag a golden ticket. Like the Laguna Beach bully left. He's actually relatively new to it. This is not a guy who's been calling 20 years, but there are guys that have been calling 20 years. So when established icons or legends or alphas or all-stars check in with their RSVP and set up their calls on the big day, that's a good, good thing. As an example, here's the full context for Mark in Boston and the RSVP call he made yesterday. The first of the season. Not quite the full context. The full context of the call is that Mark crashed out after Smack-Off 28 in spectacular fashion when he was loaded for bear. Thought he had his best call ever. Thought that was his year, only to have the call drop. It sounded like this. It is Mark in Boston. Great to have you back. Mark, how are you?
Oh, hey, Jimmy. Thank you, man. Hey, here's a horse reference left call.
Dude, you're gone. Imagine that happening in the Smack-Off. The one day of the year you need to have a good connection. And you think you have a winning call. you think it's your year and you can't get through the first line. That's brutal, but it does remind me to remind, he owned it. It reminds me to remind you, if you do call on the big day, or any day for that matter, make sure you have a decent connection. In fact, make sure you have a good connection. Landlines are best. Speakerphones are the worst. That's not okay. Thankfully, by the sound of his call yesterday, Mark has learned the hard lesson. He learned it the hard way, but he owned it.
And Jimmy, look, I get it. It's season. I don't have the authority to announce it's Smack-Off season. Only the host can do that, you self-important D-bags. But here's what I know. I've got a landline now. I've got some takes. They don't suck. And I'll be there on June 30th, baby. Peace.
That a boy. I like it. He sounds hungry. He sounds ready. He sounds pissed. He sounds like he's not going to peak too soon. He sounds, most importantly, like he's got a phone line that is going to work. It sounds like he could hit us back and drop his Smack-Off call right now. I love it. Anybody else want to call in an RSVP? Now is the time. Not today because we're almost out of time, but going forward, now is the time. Also, importantly, if you want to make a Smack-Off prediction, go ahead and do so. You can make a prediction and get the prediction on national TV. If you have a take on who's going to rip the crown this year, send us a video. We're going to play your video predictions. Start sending them right now to smackoffpicks@gmail.com. Smackoffpicks, P-I-C-K-S, smackoffpicks@gmail.com. Just know that if you want your prediction to run on national television, it has to be suitable to run on national television. In other words, no profanity, no nudity, no violence, no vulgarity, no substance abuse, or even use. Essentially, no sex, no drugs, no booze, no porn, etc. Use your common sense. It's for CBS daytime television. Keep it in mind, and we will get your prediction videos on TV. Stucknut is going to drop their Smack-Off odds a week from today. We'll discuss them a week from tomorrow. So if you want to hold off on sending a prediction until then, there is no rush. But if you're ready to make your pick, cut a short video, and send it to smackoffpicks@gmail.com. Simple. smackoffpicks@gmail.com. Things get kicked up a notch next week when we start dropping our player profiles. It doesn't mean you can't get in here, though, right now and grab a golden ticket or RSVP. Phone lines are open every day going forward. 1-800-636-8686. It is Smack-Off season. June 30th. $5,000 to the winner. Winner take all.
Smack-Off.
Second place gets nothing. Third place gets even less. Who's going to win it? Who's the one to beat? Depends who shows up. Will the BIC show up? He's the GOAT. Will Shawnee show up? Mark in Boston already said he'll be there. I have Frady. He's always a wild card. You never know about him. He can win it any single year. Let's see what we got here. Sue writes, I let go of the rope. Signed, Bison D.
We just let go of the rope.
That's not from you, Sue, whoever you are. It says, Miami may be up 1-0, but the biggest winner yesterday. But I'm the biggest winner yesterday. Hugs from the bottom of the ocean. Signed, Bison and Ariel.
He's a human.
I don't even get it. I really don't. These are all the people who saw YouTube TV, I should say. No names mentioned. Freaking James Kelly. He was so pissed. James Kelly was like watching The Drive during the game, he told me. I'm like, dude, are you getting this? He's like, no. I'm like, what do you mean, no? He's like, YouTube TV. He's F-bombing them right now to me on the side. Hey, Big Head Bets tomorrow. James Kelly is going to do a Big Head Bets tomorrow. I like it. It's a good weekend for it.
Assuming you have your TV, James.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger is offering supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product experts ready to answer your toughest questions. Call or click Grainger.com or stop on by. That's a fun Thursday. I'll take that. Brian Scalabrine was awesome. Love Scal. Thought Ross Chastain did a really nice job. Good beef segment. Go to episode 267 of the Jim Rome Podcast with Kevin Frazier. I'm telling you, I promise you, you'll be happy you did. Have a great night. Game 2. Lakers. Nugs. Who you got? You know we're all over that tomorrow. Big Head Bets tomorrow. See you then, Ralph.